talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello. Shalom. Buongiorno. Howdy. Namaste. Or buenos dias.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, my name is Zach Galifianakis. Welcome to Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis. With me today is Timmy Kimbles. Jimmy, thank you for joining me here.
Thanks for having me.
You're a late-night talk show host. What's it like to be in the late-night business?
I mean, it's great. You know, it's like something I always wanted to do when I was a kid. I'd watch Letterman, and it's really like a dream come true.
You ever farted on a Cocker Spaniel?
No, I can't say that I have.
You want a beer?
And now,
that's showbiz.
Our feature presentation.
Pretty specific question.
Yeah.
Yes, me. Strange. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin Abijo. It's Tuesday, the 21st of January.
Hey, kids. How's it going?
What's going on?
Good.
Hey, Ribs. What's happening?
Oh, don't bring them up.
Oh, all right.
Starting to get angry at them now at this point.
Oh, good.
Does that happen to you when you have some? Of course, you know, Kevin,
yeah,
with your back. It's chronic. You just get to a point where you just go, stop it already.
Yeah.
Stop it. Go away.
It's not any better.
It's no better.
How is that possible?
It's been over 3 weeks. It's none. None better.
Maybe a doctor's visit. Maybe go to the doctor and say, it's not getting better.
Yeah. It may be time for backup x-rays or something to see if there's anything going on. I mean, I'm starting to feel about my ribs the way we feel about beer mug, which is just you walk in the morning, you go, oh, again with the beer mug?
But you can't fire your ribs.
You can't fire your ribs.
That's the problem.
Exactly, yeah. How was everybody's weekend?
Very good, thank you.
Fabulous. I went to the Hot Air Balloon Festival in Lake Havasu.
Meet. Oh, wait, no, that's ridiculous.
I didn't either.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
So you go and you stand on the ground and you look up and you go, those sure are hot air balloons.
You can take rides if you want. It's like a whole fair kind of thing. There's booths and
there's booths?
Booths.
Oh, booths.
Did you take a ride?
Food. And no, I didn't take a ride. It was expensive.
Ah. Gotcha.
No, I didn't take a ride.
That would be the only thing that could get me into one of those things.
Really?
Right.
If I could get take
I
a ride
relatives
in one of,
there, too.
One of the hot air balloons, that'd be cool.
They were really cool, though. It was awesome to see like 40 of them all up in the sky at the same time.
You're living pretty fast these days, Lisa. You might have to pace yourself a little bit.
They die young if you keep going that way.
Yeah.
She's going crazy, and she's had that cough for now for 3 weeks.
Oh,
so
it won't go away.
She's going down. We know that.
I'll go
so
with
that
you
cough
to the doctor.
Is your beer mug.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
I feel like an old person, you know, when I laugh and then I start to cough.
Oh, sure.
And I sound like I've been smoking for 50 years and drinking scotch.
But well, you sound like an old person when your exciting three-day weekend is going to watch hot air balloons.
Good
Lisa.
Point. Good point.
Maybe you are an old person.
Again,
you ever think about that? The evidence is starting to
relatives
mount.
Relatives there, and we drank a lot, and we ate a lot, and we had a great time.
Okay.
I don't think that was an old person thing to
That's
do.
That's an old person thing to do. Absolutely it is.
Wait, let me think. Yep, it is. Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Before we get started on today's all-new Kevin Abijo show for Tuesday, here's a story that will terrify you, especially if you are already a little bit afraid of snakes. This is a story that comes out of Australia. A man's name is Jake Thomas. He is a volunteer who mows the local cemetery at Werris Creek, where his daughter is buried. So he's the guy who's out there, you know, maintaining the place. He comes across a snake during the usual cleanup. It's in a vase on top of a headstone. By coincidence, by the way, the headstone that's right next to his daughter Kim's grave. Fearing for other people's safety, he took his shovel. The snake was hanging out of the vase by about 2 feet. He took the shovel and cut the snake in half, like you do.
Sure.
Because he was fearful that it was going to bite somebody. It's a red-bellied black snake, by the way, which apparently are very poisonous. I don't know if we have those here. They're, again, this is in Australia. So he continues mowing the cemetery. About 45 minutes later, he comes back to get rid of the snake. He puts his hand in the vase to pick it up, and it bit him.
The half with the head still works?
It had been dead for 45 minutes. He was taken to the local hospital before being transferred to nearby Tamworth Hospital, where he was given an anti-venom and spent 2 days in intensive care. His hand swelled up for a week. Australian reptile park curator Liz Vella said that people who killed snakes or came across a dead one should not treat it as though it's dead because snakes retain their bite reflex and could still be venomous for up to an hour after death.
What?
We're talking about zombie snakes, you guys. For reals.
You kill them and 45 minutes later, they're dead.
They have a bite reflex. An hour after they're dead. Yes,
they can still bite you.
That's crazy. Who would have?
I mean, this guy. It's extremely reasonable that he thought, well, I took care of that guy an hour ago, right?
Yeah, and you know, an hour ago probably makes him even more sure. It's not like it just happened.
Yep,
that's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, there's pictures of the bite on his hand. Like I said, he spent 2 days in intensive care. The red-bellied black snake.
That's crazy talk right there.
And by the way, in a cemetery, that story has everything.
Yeah,
right?
It really does. Yeah.
So don't do that.
All right. Good tip. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Micho, shall we?
You are a moron. Seriously? Why can't you understand this?
We have Eddie Alvarez on the program today. Nicole Alvarez is, I would say, brother. Yeah.
Yes, little brother. That's right.
Going to the Olympics representing the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
How about that?
That's real.
That's pretty cool. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have the Bachelor Report.
Bachelor Report.
Hey, this could be an interesting Bachelor Report to hear Petros and Ralph try to defend their man from his crazy homophobic slurs over the weekend. Bachelor is in a lot of trouble.
Oh,
right now.
How about that? Fantastic. Like to see him go down.
Maybe ABC will pull it off the schedule.
What about LaQuisha coming back today?
Very excited about that. It's been way too long for LaQuisha.
And Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL weekend that was. And
were there football games this weekend?
Not for me. And the Super Bowl that's coming up in, what is it, a couple of months now?
It's a week from Sunday.
So 2 weeks.
That's right.
Nothing but hype. And the Pro Bowl, which is not exciting to anyone. Well, so we'll do all that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. This is... 5:54 now on a Tuesday morning.
Ralph Garman is slowly making his way to the K-Rock studios. In the meantime, we're taking a look at the first peek at Showbiz Beat for a new Kevin and Bean show, starting with movies, box office, like we do after a weekend. Long holiday weekend. A lot of people went to the movies. What did you guys see this weekend? You see anything?
Yes, I did, but I can't remember. I'll tell
was
you as you go.
Was it Ride Along?
Nope. It was not Ride
That's
Along.
That's surprising me because it seems like everybody went to see Ride Along. $41.6 million dollars at the box office over the weekend. That's big bucks, by the way, for a movie that only cost $25 million to make. 41 and a half in its opening weekend. This is the Kevin Hart Ice Cube comedy. Had the Cube on Friday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Enjoyed catching up with him. Lone Survivor came in at number two with $22 million. Then The Nut Job at number three. Now, that's the animated movie with the squirrels, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
That made just under $20 million. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. 15 and a half. Was that it?
That's the one I saw, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was good.
Wow. That is...
Yeah. Serviceable. That's what I heard.
It was not great. You watch it, you know what you're going to get, but you walk out and you're a little underwhelmed.
And this was Chris Pine taking over the Jack Ryan role?
It's not bad, and he's not
bad.
How do you
like him compared to other men who have played that?
I think he's great in everything.
He's a really good actor, yeah.
But the movie itself, overall was just kind of like,
$15.5 million. Frozen at number five with $11.8. American Hustle at number six. Then Devil's Due, which, after that viral marketing campaign was so big on the internet last week, I'm a little surprised this one didn't do better with people in the mood for babies jumping out of strollers and scaring people. $8.3 million at number seven. Then August Osage County, Wolf of Wall Street, and rounding out your top ten was Her at the box office this weekend.
Is Khloe Kardashian pregnant? Again.
Oh.
According to Star Magazine, the reality show star who struggled to get pregnant for years is expecting, but is it Lamar? Is it Matt Kemp? Is it the game? She says she's not sure.
Really?
She says that? Or friends close to her say she says that,
I wonder. Right. Yeah, friends close to her that talk to the star. And you never know if they're friends, because who would talk to the star if they're friends?
Right, exactly.
But she's not sure, and I think she just wants to get it out there that she's actually having sex with anyone.
That could be a very dramatic plot line on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, though, if they have, you know, Maury Povich come on the show and they do some sort of a pregnancy test and it's revealed who the baby is. That would be actually kind of exciting.
Not the father. Woo!
Screen Actors Guild Awards were held over the weekend. I won't bore you with the list because they are exactly the people you expected to win after the Golden Globes and exactly the same people who are going to win at the Oscars in a few weeks. But I thought this was interesting. Jared Leto, who was doing an interview after winning for the Dallas Buyers Club, revealed that he has not seen the movie yet. He says he has plans on watching it one day after he gets some perspective and lets the flick marinate.
Huh.
Now, what do you suppose that means? I mean, at this point, it already has been at least a couple of years since he filmed it. How much time does he need to let a flick marinate before he can watch his own work, I wonder?
I don't know. That's one of those weird things about stars who do or do not like to watch the stuff they're in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people will never, but most people either watch it immediately or never. This is a weird later. Let it marinate.
Yeah. It is.
Give
I mean,
some time.
Can you imagine, Kevin, if you recorded something, like you recorded an album that's
right.
going to be released, would you ever put it out there without hearing it?
No, I wouldn't. But
it's kind of the same thing, though, isn't
well,
it?
Well, no, because he has no control over what is being put out there.
Yeah,
he
that's
just
the
did
thing.
His performance, and then whatever they do with it is what they do.
He has his
he
tiny part,
anything.
And everybody else has their part.
Right.
I would just think, it, you know, just for people asking you questions about things that are in the movie,
yeah.
you'd need to know what's in the movie, you know?
Yeah, I would
but
too.
I was just surprised by that. Congratulations to Jared, who looks like he is well on his way to being an Oscar winner. So, well done, sir.
Star Magazine is reporting, this is very, very exciting, this report. The Jonas Brothers, you know how they broke up?
Right.
Yeah.
The Joe Bros?
I'm barely over it.
Well, apparently Star Magazine has a picture of Joe and Nick playing beach frisbee. Come on.
So they're two-thirds back together?
Woo!
Woo!
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Who's the other one? Who's the one that's missing? There's Joe and there's Nick, and who's the other one? Is that Tito? What's his name?
Stella.
Is it Stella?
I think.
Well, it's good to know they can still be friends, even if they can't be in a band together. TV ratings are big news. If you love a show and you want it to stay on the air, we've all been crushed by our favorites being canceled because the ratings were too low. Kevin, you'd be happy to know The Following is back. It came back Sunday night. Huge opening numbers. Of course, it came on after football on Fox.
Awesome.
So it's to be expected this is going to be bigger than they'll see in a regular time slot. But 11.2 million total viewers for The Following. How was that? I know you're a big fan of the Kevin Bacon series.
I taped that. I did not watch it.
Haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Also, Sherlock came back on Sunday night.
Saw that. Awesome.
Had its highest ratings ever. It pulled in over 4 million viewers on PBS. Of course, it also benefits from the Downton Abbey lead-in, which I'm sure you watched that as well, right?
That show really is great. Why didn't you tell me about it?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, speaking of numbers, you know, we talk about, 11 million is huge for The Following, for instance. The Golden Globes, which had over 20 million, was a huge, huge night for TV. And then you look at football.
Yeah.
AFC Championship game, which was Patriots-Broncos on Sunday afternoon, had over 51 million.
Wow.
The NFC game, Seahawks-49ers, touched 60 million. In the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Ended up at just under 59. I mean, these are insane numbers. It's almost hard to believe that football still continues to get bigger every year, but it does. I mean, 60 million people tuning in for a game. That's not the Super Bowl.
And wait till Sunday when the Pro Bowl comes on. Woo! People lose their minds.
It really does. I mean, football just dwarfs anything else that you want to put on television. Anyway, there's lots more showbiz news. We'll let Ralph pick it up from here 1 hour from right now. Today's celebrity birthdays, Oscar-winning actress Gina Davis turns 58 years old today. TV actress Jill Eikenberry turns 67. Robbie Benson is 58 years old today. Paul Allen, who was one of the Microsoft co-founders and the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, by the way, is 61 years old today. Baby Spice turns 38 today. The great Billy Ocean is 64. Got to get a little Caribbean Queen on later on today.
Or
perhaps. Perhaps not.
Or not.
And that, for this hour, is the Kevin Bean, Ralph Garman, Showbiz Bean. It's never too early. Let me take that again. It's never too early to start.
Over? So
yeah, let's do the whole thing again.
All right, here we go.
But first.
Hey, those Jonas.
Oop. We're good. It's never too early to start getting excited about Team USA in the Winter Olympics, which, by the way, start February 6th in Sochi. That's in Russia, don't you know? One of the young men that we are going to be rooting for strong is Eddie the Jet Alvarez, whose big sister happens to be our own Nicole Alvarez right here on the world-famous Kerrang. Eddie joins us. This could be the first time we talk to Eddie and the last time we talk to him before he comes home with gold medals around his neck.
That's right. Gentlemen,
Eddie Alvarez.
That's
right. Kevin Beecher. How are you, sir?
How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you. Hey, it's our pleasure. You know, we've been hearing about you a lot from your big sis for months and months and months, and congratulations on making the team. When do y'all ship out for Russia?
We actually have team processing to go to in Munich, Germany, and then on the 30th, we'll be headed to Sochi. So, quite the process. But yeah, I totally understand. I haven't stopped hearing about my sister either. She doesn't stop.
Well, she is certainly your biggest fan, that's for sure. And we're just so fascinated with your story. I mean, there's so many things that I wanted to ask you about, Eddie, because I've been, following this because of the awareness from Nicole. Let me start with asking you about the injury. I mean, a couple of years ago, you couldn't even put on a pair of skates, and now you're going to the Olympics. Please explain how that's even physically possible.
A little less than 2 years ago, I underwent surgery for both patella tendons on the knees. I had about 12 tears. They're just like basically strings for knees. And I couldn't, once I got surgery, I was bedridden for 4 weeks. I couldn't walk.
Wow. Now, at that time, what were they telling you about getting back on the skates and making it to the Olympics?
It was a possibility that I would not be able to skate ever again.
Ever again. Wow.
But it was a chance I was willing to take, and I'm glad I did it. I really did. I really am glad I did it. It was a lot of hard work, but at the end, it was all worth it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what the rehab must have been like. Now, do you feel like you skate better now as a result of that? Are you back to the level that you were before the injury, or no?
Well, the thing is, I always dealt with knee issues, so definitely at a different level. My body grew up a little bit. I got a little bit more of a man strength and stuff. I did have to change a lot of my technique and everything I do. I had to concentrate more on the butt now, on the glutes to push. So it's a little different, but it was easy. It was pretty easy to adjust.
I think we all need to focus more on the butt. If I could just speak from my end.
Tell me about your teammate, Eddie, that you have been friends with since you were 6 years old. I mean, what a beautiful story that is.
Yeah, J.R. Selsky. That's my boy. That's my brother. And, we've always raced each other since 1996 when we were 6 years old. Every year.
Wow.
We'd go 1-2 national champs, so... It's an honor to be on a team with him, especially someone like that of that caliber. So, I'm just excited to go and represent the U.S.
Now you qualified.
Yeah, just being able to, I'm sorry to interrupt, Kevin, but just being able to share the experience of going to Russia and being in the Olympics and having, your best friend there with you is just going to make it all that much more fun, too.
Yeah, it's going to be extremely fun. It really is. And just the fact that we're going to be, representing together, it's going to be absolutely amazing, and hopefully we can be on that podium in that relay together for gold. So
now you qualified for all four short track speed skating events: the 500, yeah, the 1000, the 1500, and the relay. Was that a surprise to you?
It was a goal of mine. It really was, and I knew the 15,000 aren't my best races, but I knew I had I had the capability of doing it, so I went for it, and I did it. And me and JR are going to be the only ones skating all the distances in the game, so it's really cool.
When you're this is the voice of Eddie Alvarez here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. He is representing the United States at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi as a speed skater. How when you're out there for the 500, say, Eddie, how long is the total race?
The race is about 40 seconds long.
Yeah,
40 seconds long.
What's incredible is we train 6 to 8 hours a day, 6 days a week for 40 seconds of fame.
Wow. That's one of the reasons why we all fall in love with the Olympics, though, is we see people have spent a lifetime, years and years and years, and so much can go wrong. So much can go right also in that 40 seconds. I mean, that's why the pressure is so tough, is because it's all out there and you get that one chance to do it. And I bet we would be shocked
by how many different things you have to keep track of during that 40 seconds to have a successful race.
You know, you can, that race can either be the longest race of your life or the shortest. It really can. But the goal really is to make it as long as you possibly can, because the longer you make it, the more opportunities you actually create for yourself.
Right.
You know, if you just kind of go out there and skate the race, you know, without thinking, without having a strategy, and it goes by so fast, you really did not execute a goal.
Yeah, so, I can't even imagine what that's like, and just the situational awareness that you have of the other skaters around you. I mean, that's got to be, you know, more than half the battle, not to mention just, you know, trying to be as fast as you can in your own skates.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about is it called Athlete Village where you live?
Yeah, the Athlete Village.
Tell me about that. How much time do you have to spend there before your actual races?
I think I race about 4 days after opening ceremony, but, you know, we do practice every day. But, yeah, I guess it's – I haven't been – they were still – when I went to Sochi last season for a test event, they were still – everything was still under construction, so I haven't seen it myself in person. But supposedly
we're cutting out.
Everything's new. Yeah, everything's new, and it's going to be my home for the next month, so –
Wow. Well, we can't wait to see you on TV, and we're so excited for you, Eddie. I mean, like I said, we've been hearing about you for a long time from your sister, and we're so proud of you, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, and I hope that we can invite you back and have you come on back, you know, after you've won a couple of medals and tell us what it's like.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I want to shout out to my sister. I love you, Nicole. And, of course, the beer mug, you and all of that athletic body of yours, bud.
Oh, yeah. You're lucky he didn't try out for this sport.
That's right. You wouldn't have made the team if Muggs had gone for it.
I'm scared to be seen in a skin suit around him.
All right, Eddie. Great to chat with you, man. Good luck to you, okay?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks, all this week on the Kevin Bean Show, we're hooking you up with tickets to exclusive K-Rock Grammy pre-parties, including Young the Giant at the Grammy Museum on Friday night, Fits in the Tantrums at the Conga Room on Saturday night. Congratulations to Christian Redillo from Fontana. You are this hour's winner. We got more for you coming up. It's not really getting back to work time until we've checked in with Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom to find out what we missed. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
You watch any of that sport ball? I know you've become a huge sports fan since the debut of TMZ Sports.
I'm so glad you mentioned TMZ Sports. By the way, midnight, Saturday and Sunday night, and it's awesome. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of the show. It is so fun, and you don't have to be a sports fan to watch this. It is so fun.
Now, do you need athletes to have bad behavior in order to make your show, or is it not like that?
No, it's not just bad behavior. It's everything. I mean, but it's fun stuff. I mean, we do so much fun. It's like we got this bill. So explain this to me. I mean, you guys own L.A., so explain this to me.
Yeah,
Kobe Bryant's a big star, right?
Right.
Okay, so Kobe Bryant does a photo shoot for Nike, right?
Right.
Explain to me how this bald man who never wears makeup could rack up an $862 grooming bill for the photo shoot. Please explain.
$862 for grooming.
$862.
Wow.
Bald.
Yeah. Inexplicable. They took advantage of the hair trimmers being out there to work on some other parts of his body, I don't know. That's a great question.
He didn't take the money. Nike hired this woman. But what did she do? Anyway, that's the kind of fun stuff we do.
Good question.
All right. That's Weekends at Midnight on Fox. So you want to start with El Bachelor, or you want to talk about the Biebs latest? What do you like?
You know what? I'm gonna leave it to you. I can do anything you want.
All right. Let's talk about The Bachelor, because I am frankly surprised with the kinds of remarks that he made to that journalist on the record and on tape that there isn't more pressure for ABC to dump him and dump this show. Explain to folks who haven't followed it what's going on, Harvey.
Well, this is so interesting. So Juan Pablo from The Bachelor, who, by the way, says that English is a second language. He was born in Ithaca. However, in his defense, he left when he was two and he moved to Venezuela. So he has a thick accent, and he did an interview over the weekend where he said that there should not be a gay bachelor because it would be uncomfortable for people, and that gays are perverts.
Oh, boy.
And, Yeah, he used. He said that it's pervert. He kind of got it wrong, but he said pervert. And he came out and he said, well, I was taken out of context. Well, no, he wasn't. I mean, when you listen to it, it's plain as day. So, and then he said, English is my second language, but pervertido is the name, is the word in Spanish. So I don't know how he confused that.
He also says it would be a bad influence on kids for them to see a gay bachelor show. And that was the part that was really offensive to me.
So that's what he said. And then Warner Brothers came out and they did, you know, the whole thing and said, oh, he's insensitive and he's, you know, we don't embrace his views. The show's making money. Okay?
Yeah.
It's called show business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right? And so then, you know, it's funny because we put a poll up on the website and asked people whether they agree with him or whether they were appalled by it. It was pretty close. It was something like 55 to 45. 55 were appalled, but 45 were for it. And we started talking about it in the newsroom. And the fact is, if you would have taken this poll 8 years ago, it would have probably been 90-10.
Yeah. Right.
So it's just kind of the evolution of things.
Was there a chance to vote for he's just a dude on TV on a reality show and who cares?
Didn't put that option up. There's okay. too many letters. It's remember Salieri and Amadeus. Too many letters.
Yeah. is this in your mind? Are his comments radically different than the comments that got the Duck Dynasty guy in trouble, Harvey?
Well, the Duck Dynasty guy was kind of comparing, you know, being gay to bestiality and some other things.
Right.
But I will say this, that, you know, I think A&E was ridiculous the way they handled that because they knew what they were getting.
Yeah, that was terrible.
With Juan Pablo, you know, nobody thought that he was going to, you know, start voicing his opinion on social issues. But with Duck Dynasty, they knew exactly what they were getting. So with Duck Dynasty, I'm surprised they did anything, and I think A&E really regrets it because they screwed up.
I'll tell you who's happy about Richard Sherman's remarks at the end of the NFC Championship game that got all the headlines is Juan Pablo. It kind of brushed him aside at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but Juan Pablo's still getting – I mean, we talked – by the way, we talked to two of the Bachelor contestants who he booted off.
Right.
One of them thinks he's a jerk, but the other one says, oh, no, I got to know him. I really like him. I think he likes everybody, which means she still wants to sleep with him.
All right, moving on to the Biebs. We are still getting more and more details coming out on TMZ.com, Harvey, about what was found in the mansion when those 11 sheriff's deputies showed up the other morning. And it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Because the somebody from the sheriff's department came out and said, we didn't see any drugs or anything like that. Well, I can tell you what was there. We know.
Yes, please.
Number one, he has a smoking room in his house. And as soon as they said we didn't see a smoking room, we put the picture of the smoking room up.
I love that.
Right. I mean, with a big picture of Bob Marley on the wall and lots of bongs, and they were out there and present. He had cookie jars, two or three cookie jars filled with marijuana in it. He had scissor bottles, empty scissor bottles. The codeine bottles.
Right.
And he had scissor cups all over the place. The fact is the cops weren't looking for drugs. The cops didn't do anything wrong because they were there looking for videotape equipment and they literally could not go in the cookie jar because if they put their hand in the cookie jar, they would have exceeded the scope of the search warrant. So
I thought you told us last week, or maybe it wasn't you, but somebody told us that once they get inside.
No.
I think it was Dax. I think Dax told us that.
Absolutely not. No.
Not the case.
If we talked, what I would have said was that once you get inside, if there are drugs in plain view where it's clearly a crime,
right,
then they can arrest you. And that's exactly what they did with Lil Zay when they saw what they now believe is Molly. They arrested him. But if they see a cookie jar with a lid on it and they're looking for videotape equipment, there's no reason to go inside a cookie jar.
How about the empty codeine bottles, though?
Well,
doesn't that count?
The problem with that is you can get codeine as a prescription. So it's not apparent on its face that it's an illegal drug, and that's not why they're there. So you could, I mean, if I have, I may have, you know, a prescription for Vicodin in my house, but, you know, if it's my prescription, it's not illegal. If I have Vicodin and it's not a prescription, then it's illegal, but they don't know the difference, and they're not there looking for that.
And having said that, you don't even know who used it either. I mean, you can't prove that Justin Bieber was the one that was taking the scissorp or whatever
it
was.
Well, I can tell you.
Codeine.
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay.
We know. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people He's got a huge scissor problem. He, at his worst, is consuming 8 to 12 ounces a day of codeine. And his people want him to go to rehab. And he absolutely refuses to do it. But he has been, he's had this problem for more than a year. And as a matter of fact, they got a thing in that house. And when the cops came in, they actually have the double cups, the styrofoam cups,
right,
where they would write their names on the cups.
Love it.
Justin's name was on a bunch of these cups. So
love
there
it.
You go.
Well, what needs to happen is he needs to come out and admit that he's been hooked on dope all this time, and that's why he's been making so many terrible choices and doing so many awful things, and beg for redemption, go to rehab, and come out and be the kid we fell in love with. That's what needs to happen.
Hold on. Let me just back up. Who's the kid we fell in love with?
Yep.
I'm saying that Justin Bieber before he turned into Dick Justin Bieber. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, and, you know, he doesn't really owe anybody an apology. He just needs to get better. But
right.
His head ain't there.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom. There's so much TMZ on Fox. Just set up your DVR to tape everything that has TMZ in the title, including the old school show at 6, the TMZ Live at 4, and now TMZ Sports airing weekends at midnight. Thank you, Harvey. Have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys.
Very excited about the Kevin Abeen phone-in topic next hour, which is you dated a relative. It's been far too long since we've had that kind of nonsense on our show, so we'll be looking for your calls. Plus, the Bachelor Report on the way with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman, and the return of LaQuisha. It's all straight ahead here on a Tuesday morning KMB show.
First, let's talk about Guillermo Reyes, 49 years old, pulled over by traffic officers in Mexico City during a routine checkpoint. So they didn't pick him because he was swerving or anything. It was just routine.
Mm-hmm.
They stop everybody through that comes through, and then, they give him a little look in the eye, make sure they're okay, send him on through.
Right.
But this particular guy, he pulled up, and the police started talking to him, and his bird is a parrot, and the parrot said, he's drunk. He's drunk.
What?
Is that what you want from your parrot?
How does your parrot learn to say he's drunk? Don't parrots only know what they can imitate, the things they've already heard?
I don't know. He must have heard that enough. He's
hilarious.
Drunk, the parrot said, to the
and
police.
Was he drunk?
Yes.
Well, sure enough, he ended up being taken away to prison, and they took his bird with him so that they were not separated. In fact, we wanted to find out more about
this. Yeah, that bird should go to jail just as much as that guy.
We wanted to find out more about it, so I believe we have the Mexico City Police Department on the line right now to comment on the story. Hello there.
Hello.
Oh, it's the parrot.
Is this the parrot?
Yeah, I'm a parrot.
All right.
Well, we were just talking about your owner, Guillermo Reyes. You remember that night?
He's drunk. He's drunk.
He's drunk, all right, yeah. So, if you can, and I don't know what kind of vocabulary you have, Mr. Parrot, but what happened that
night? Pretty extensive.
Pretty extensive, okay.
Why did you rat out your owner when he was taken out of the car at a routine traffic stop?
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
You're a dick, though.
So are you.
Doesn't it just seem like you're the man's pet? All you have to do is just sit there and be quiet, let the chips fall where they may.
Easy to say when your life's not in danger on the road.
Oh, you're afraid for your life. I got you.
He crashes the car. There's feathers everywhere. Everywhere.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So what kind of drinking problem does Guillermo have? Was this a rare occurrence for him, or frequently does he go out drinking and driving?
Guillermo drinks anything. Anything.
No.
He'll drink Sterno out of a can.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Loves the scissorp. Scissorp.
Scissorp, really?
Drinks it with Justin Bieber.
So they allowed you to go to prison with Guillermo. Were you happy about that?
Nope. Now I'm a bitch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. I can't wait to see that band, Queens of the Stone Age, at Coachella. They are fantastic.
They are playing on the Grammys this Sunday night as well, Kevin, along with Nine Inch Nails, Dave Grohl, and Lindsey Buckingham all
Boom.
On stage at the same time.
Boom! That's happening.
How's that for a night?
Seems cool.
It's going to be very cool.
Hope they do Holiday Road.
I hope they do, too. That'd be the best one.
That'd be the best.
Unlikely.
Holiday.
Unlikely choice.
They'll do.
That is, those are the dulcet tones of our friend Ralph Garman, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning with a look at the show, Bisbee. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Tuesday. That means new release day. Here's what you can pick up for your entertainment dollar. Speaking of Grammys, 2014 Grammy nominees album is out with all the Grammy nominees on it, many of them, including Lord and Imagine Dragons and Daft Punk and Taylor Swift and many more. So you can pick that up in anticipation of the big show this weekend. Is Anybody Out There by A Great Big World. Their new CD is available also today. Mind Over Matter by Young the Giant. MTV's Unplugged, the Scorpions.
Woo! Rock you like a hurricane.
I don't see them unplugged.
I don't either.
That's weird.
And Transgender Dysphoria Blues by Against Me. Chuckleheads. So there, go listen to that.
Interview those guys if you ever get a chance.
DVDs today, Captain Phillips, starring Tom Hanks and Barkhad Abdi. I am the captain now. I am the captain now.
I just saw that this weekend.
Yeah.
Because you know me, I like to stay current.
Did you?
That's very current.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something shocking, and that is that Tom Hanks is a terrific actor.
Okay, let's move on.
Thanks for that input.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Speed Bump. Blue Jasmine, starring Cate Blanchett. She's winning all the awards for this performance. It's a remarkable film. Check it out. Machete Kills. Danny Trejo. Sofia Vergara. Machete Kills. Instructions Not Included, starring Eugenio Derbez and Loretto Peralta.
Sure.
Yeah, that was the big smash hit. That was that Mexican film.
That came out of nowhere. Yeah,
took the top 10 by storm. Everybody went.
So I went, and I hated it.
Well, there you go.
All right,
there's Lisa's starred approval. Crying, laughing in the theater.
Is that right?
Maybe it's not for you, Whitey.
It's not for me.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Bad Milo. It's a movie with Ken Marino, where his friend comes out of his butt and kills all his enemies. It's the demon that lives in his butt.
It's pretty strong.
Jillian Jacobs and Patrick Warburton also star. In a World. Loved this film. Lake Bell stars as a voiceover artist who lives in the shadow of her father, a famous voiceover artist, and has to make her own way in the film. Very entertaining. And Charlie Countryman, starring Shia LaBeouf, Evan Rachel Wood, and Rupert Grint. This is the film that Rupert Grint was recently talking about when he said Shia's character took acid in the film, so Shia thought it would be a great idea to take acid on the set.
Right.
And proceeded to destroy the set and get naked. And fight a pretend owl.
And that's good?
That was not particularly good.
Not good.
According to Rupert Grint, he said that's the kind of thing that will make you never do drugs. You can check that out if you're so inclined. Speaking of never doing drugs, Justin Bieber's friend saying he has an addiction to Sizzurp.
Sure.
Sizzurp, of course, besides being Kevin's favorite drink, is a mix of prescription strength codeine cough syrup. And then a little soft drink for fizz. And then if it's not sweet enough, you just plop in a few Jolly Ranchers. And you got yourself a cocktail right there. Sounds like something Beer Mug would drink to get up in the morning. The report further suggests that Justin uses the highest strength codeine syrup on the market.
Oh, great.
Actavis is its name. That's what he uses. Only the best for Justin.
Sure.
This stuff reportedly costs $800 a pint.
Wow.
Wow.
He probably drinks like a couple of pints a day, right?
I'm not sure about that. But if you're curious to know what the effects of Sizzurp are, the doctor says it produces mild euphoric side effects accompanied by motor skill impairment, lethargy, drowsiness, and a disassociative feeling from all other parts of the body. Kevin! Now we have the answer. Now we know.
How dare you.
Thank you, Lise.
That must have been a moment of party.
Indeed. Jared Leto is sweeping the awards circuit this year for his role as Rayon in Dallas Buyers Club. Remarkable performance. The only person who hasn't enjoyed his performance in that film is Jared Leto. Hasn't seen the film.
He hasn't seen?
Has not seen.
Oh, interesting.
He says he plans on watching it someday after he gets some perspective and lets the film marinate, he says. Going to marinate.
Is he the kind of person that never watches his film?
It doesn't say here whether that's a standard operational procedure or not for Jared, but in this particular case, he's not quite ready to watch the film. I can imagine it would be a particularly difficult film to watch, having done it. Just because it's you transformed so severely, it would sort of be an out-of-body experience. I think it's sort of off-putting to see yourself so radically different from what you really are.
But because you do something so radically different, it seems like, to me, you would really want to see how it came out.
Yeah, I guess
you know what I mean?
Some people are like that. Other people are
so different.
when they watch a performance, especially one like that, just see the flaws. Oh, I should have done this better. I should have done that. I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve there. So maybe we have to get a little distance from that performance. We'll be able to put it all in perspective and have a good time with it, the way we all did. And remember George Michael?
Sure.
Sure.
He used to be in a band called Wham back in the 80s and had a wildly successful solo career.
He's the guy who needs a driver, right? George Michael?
Before he started falling out of his own car, driving down the freeway, falling out of the driver's side of the car.
Yeah. Or falling asleep behind the wheel while he's parked.
At a red light.
Yeah.
At a red light, he could fall asleep.
But stuff
he could
like
do that.
Yeah.
But before he made pot his full-time job, he used to be a musician. And he did a tour where he took an orchestra with him in 2011 and 12, performing his hits recorded with a symphony orchestra. Well, during that tour, he took those musicians into a studio and recorded his latest album. It's called Symphonica. Features orchestrated versions of his own tunes. I will be your father figure.
Really?
You'd like to hear that with violins.
I have a clip if you'd like to hear.
Oh, sure. I'd love to hear that. He has lost his magic touch.
Yeah, he's kind of getting a little better shape.
Yours has not been good to his voice.
March 17th, that's coming out if you want to check it out. Sounds like an interesting project. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer-songwriter Billy Ocean is 64 years old today. Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean.
We're rocking a little Caribbean Queen a little bit later in the
show. I asked for that an hour ago, Muggs. Did that message not get translated?
Nope.
No, that's not going to happen. Actress Gina Davis is 58. DJ Chris Gilmore of Incubus is 41 years old today. Emma Bunton. Baby Spice. That was Spice Girls.
Which one was she?
I know you said Baby Spice, but I can't.
She was the one who looked like
a baby. Not the redhead.
The one who looked like a baby.
All right.
She had the diaper on with the pacifier. She used to go in a stroller all the time.
I don't remember.
Not ringing
that.
A bell. No. Now, she was the youngest of them with the blonde pigtails.
Oh, okay.
Cute. 38 years old today.
Right.
And LA Kings goalie Jonathan Quick celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew on Thursday. We've got a preview of this weekend's Grammys with the editor of Billboard Magazine. And Luke Robitaille will be in studio with us tomorrow as well, by the way. He is going to be previewing the NHL Stadium Series coming up this weekend, Saturday at Dodger Stadium between Ducks and Kings. That's all on the way this week on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
But the most important thing of the whole week, El Bachelor.
Oh, yes! Welcome to January! Here's Ralph Garman and his butt buddy, Petros Papadakis. This is The Bachelor Report.
El Bachelor.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Ay, Dios mío. What's cracking, guys?
Ay, caramba, amigo.
Ay.
Last night, pretty impressive last night, I thought, P.
Yeah, well, after a minor PR homophobic setback.
Sure.
Right.
You got that. I think Juan Pablo bounced back last night.
Well, he had a nice apology with GLAAD that ABC orchestrated, so everything's okay. Juan Pablo apologized for being English second language, and he got back to the business of charming the pantalones off these mujeres last night, if you know what I'm saying.
He got back to the journey. That's what matters.
I thought you guys said he pretty much didn't talk, that if he was out on a date, the girl would have to do most of the conversation.
Well, when he opens his mouth, his brain falls out.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
It happened with that. Yeah, he's a dumb guy. But it happened with a journalist with a tape recorder, and Juan Pablo got in trouble on Friday. But you know what I got to say, Ralph? You know, he's starting to use the mouthpiece as he gets more comfortable with these chicks, you know, calming them down like wild mares out in the prairie, you know. He gets on them and he kind of calms. He's kind of a whisperer in a way. He's dumb. He's dumb. But he knows how to calm these chicks down. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, a lot of them were having a lot of anxiety this week. And I thought it kind of hilarious because they all say, I can't just share a guy with a lot of women. That's just not who I am. And I feel like saying, you know, you're on The Bachelor, right?
You're on
which is about
TV
27
show.
Women going after one guy. It's the nature of the very show that you're on.
Yeah.
Remember being all giddy and giggly and making a stupid video with your stupid friends because you're lonely and you needed to be on The Bachelor. You're hot and lonely.
Yeah.
And there you wonder why you don't have a husband is probably because you're annoying. and you do. You remember when you did the video and now you're here and then they all get entitled.
Yeah.
You know, they all have a sense of entitlement for Juan Pablo. You know, there's not a lot of room in Juan Pablo's vacant mind.
It's true. It's one date and then he moves on and you're out of sight, out of mind with Juan Pablo.
Now, but Ralph, some of these chicks, I got to say, just, you know, I just got to interrupt and say, some of these chicks are super hot this year.
Yeah,
I mean, they had a boob, they had a boob and butt fest last night at a pool party that really rivaled Busty Cops on Cinemax. I mean, it was very strong.
I like that cat. I like the cat. It was sitting on his shoulders, all busty, just trying to push other girls over on his shoulders. That was
strong. You know, and she had a little extra back there, didn't she, Ralph?
She sure did, Pete.
Yeah.
Ralph, you talk about the girls not being comfortable with all the competition. Was there a scene, and I only hear bits and pieces of The Bachelor Report, but was there a scene where he was making out with a girl like at a soccer field or something like that, and all the other girls are standing around kind of watching?
StubHub Center.
Yeah, you Kevin would have been happy. Pablo. A lot of soccer last night, Kevin. You would have enjoyed it.
Sweet.
The LA Galaxy made an appearance.
Oh, really?
They're out there kicking the ball around. It was strong because Juan Pablo, of course, is a former professional soccer player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's true.
Yeah, and then he went all Maradona on the chicks. You know, he went out there and he faked them out, you know, and they couldn't get to the ball because Juan Pablo's so slick with his feet.
Right.
Too bad he's dumb in the mind.
And then he made out with the opera singer a little bit there midfield.
You know what? I got to tell you, she has the mundo.
She has the world. Mundo. Yeah.
And I like the opera singer. To me, the opera singer with her plunging backed gowns is a front runner.
Why don't you
like her, Ralph?
She's an ice princess psychopath. That's why.
She's an aristocrat. She has the world. She performs in Germany to the highest of the high. I like her style. And I don't mean high on weed. I mean rich people.
Yeah.
what went wrong for the young ladies who were asked to leave on last night's show, you guys?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the hippie chick left and then some nondescript blonde. I mean, he's just cutting the fat and gristle at this point. I mean, he's not really breaking hearts yet.
We're not in the thick of it yet. One of the girls last night, I looked at her as she went and I said, I have no idea who that girl is or how long she's been on this show. I have no idea who she is.
That's how you know, when the rose ceremony starts, and my wife made this comment, when the rose ceremony starts and they show like a close-up of some chick you ain't never seen.
Right.
That girl's going home.
She's going home.
If you think to yourself, who's that girl?
Yeah.
Then you know she won't be getting a rose.
So there's like a couple of girls left, two, three girls left, and then he has to make a choice?
No. There's a good like 20 or 18 chicks just posted out still, waiting.
They're moving on to Seoul, Korea next week. They start to travel.
Oh, they take the whole group?
They take everybody, and they start traveling around the world, and they're going to Seoul, South Korea next week.
You know, they've been a lot of places when somebody sits there and just says, hey, we haven't done Korea yet.
Yeah. Let's go to the demilitarized zone. Let's head over there. But what was the coolest part of last night, P? See if you agree with me. The coolest part of the show last night.
Not watching?
The coolest part of the show.
Yeah.
Well, other than the chicken fights in the pool and that chick with the junk in the trunk, I mean, she had a little cellulite, and that, you know, that's not bad for me. I like a little bit.
I'm with you.
I like some dimples in the ass, if you know what I mean. Did I go too far?
Not at all.
No, but
how
that's
about the water car?
It got me feeling very romantic. Oh, his stupid
his water car.
His car.
Yeah, that was the best thing ever.
It's another thing that Juan Pablo doesn't have to. He's got some chick with him who's an NBA baby mama.
Yeah, right.
She's got an NBA. She's got an NBA baby, and she looks like a freaking stork. And how does Juan Pablo avoid talking to her? An amphibious car.
He drives into the water and coasts around the water in his amphibious car.
What if we get a closer look at the beach? What do you think if we get a closer look at the beach? Oh, Cassie, I'm going to drive right on the water. Okay.
Boom. Water car.
What is wrong with you two?
They're running out of things to do in the
pool. 2 hours.
Was it 2 hours again?
2 hours
every week.
Crap.
I know you say every week, but they're going to have to narrow it down to 1 hour.
No, it gets longer when they get less people. More water cars. That's what I want.
Oh, you know what else, Ralph? You know, who are these nondescript singers they keep throwing at us?
I know. They have a private concert every week with somebody you've never heard of.
Last night was a country singer, right?
Yeah.
It's Bill McGroon.
Oh, Bill McGroon does great work.
I love all of his hits.
Look, I'm glad both of you guys are enjoying The Bachelor because nothing you say in this report makes me want to watch.
It's so much fun. You're missing out.
You know
what? I'll live.
Yes.
You lack. You're empty and black and unromantic inside.
Is that right?
Hey, look, and if you don't like a chick with a big pooper, that's your problem.
Monday nights.
Water car. A car that drives
on ABC.
On water.
The Bachelor airs, and then we recap it Tuesday mornings at the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, Petros Papadakis, along with his good friend Matt Money Smith, airs 3 to 7 on AM 570. That's this afternoon. Have a great show. Pete, thanks for joining us, man.
What are you talking about? We're doing two segments. It's a two-hour show.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yes. That was The Bachelor Report.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. I have many questions about this story that TMZ.com is reporting about Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby, marrying her adopted brother.
Yeah, now, first of all, this is about to get weird up in here.
It is about to get weird. And I am interested in this topic if it has affected any of our listeners where you have dated a relative. Before we talk specifically about the Whitney thing, I mean, I guess I can see how it happened. Let's say your parents divorce and then your mom remarries and or your dad remarries. And now all of a sudden you've got these quote unquote siblings that you've never met before. You meet them as a teenager or as an adult or something like that. And they're just like anybody else you'd meet. You can be attracted to them, even though technically you're kind of brother and sister because your parents are married to each other, right?
Yeah.
But you're not at all blood related.
But you're not related
but
at all.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You are blood related if this is somebody that your mom had sex with somebody that wasn't your dad and they had a baby.
Half brother. But we're talking about adopted or.
Yeah, we're talking about adopted or step siblings.
Blended families like the Brady Bunch.
Oh, the Brady Bunch.
Like
okay.
That. Think about that.
Right. So, in other words, Kevin, your mom remarries and. Well, that's a bad example. Your mom remarries and she has a daughter. You know, now she has a daughter from her new husband.
Oh,
that's
I
somebody
see.
You never met before.
Right.
Yet you're kind of brother and sister because your parents are married. So you start dating. Now, in most cases, we would never look at the person that way, but I can certainly see how it happens. I'm a little bit more perplexed. And again, we want to hear your calls if you've ever ended up dating a relative, brother, sister, first cousin, something like that, where people on the outside thought it was icky, but it totally made sense or worked for you. We want to hear about it. The Whitney story is a little weirder because Bobby Christina, her unfortunate daughter, and I say that because she looks so much like her father, Bobby Brown, and so little like her mother, Whitney Houston, who is gorgeous. She is now married to this kid named Nick Gordon, who apparently was unofficially adopted by Whitney Houston.
What does that even mean?
Well, this
like
is what
he
I'm
just
unclear.
Came to live with them?
He came to live with them,
yes.
And she raised him as her son and as Bobby Christina's brother.
But never did the paperwork to go through and adopt.
Right.
Having
and even
said
if,
that, would it matter either
did
way?
He have
yeah, exactly.
Parents?
See, that's what there's. I've done some research on this. It's very difficult to get any kind of backstory on this Nick Gordon. And that's part of why other members of Whitney Houston's family, including her mother, Sissy, the famous gospel singer, are suspicious of this guy who swoops in and marries his quote unquote stepsister days before her 21st birthday when she's going to start receiving the inheritance from Whitney Houston's estate.
Now,
Whitney left her $20 million, but it's parceled out. So she gets, I think, $2 million in March on her 21st birthday, and then she gets a little bit more like on her 23rd birthday and then 25th, and it doles out like that. So she can't get it all at one time and blow
it. I'd marry her for that.
So some are suggesting that this Nick Gordon is just playing a long game here where he, you know, saw this person who was going to be very wealthy and said, I need to get in on some of that. Bobby Christina is saying, no, it's just like I met anybody else on the street that I didn't know. We fell in love and now we're married and we're very happy and people should shut up and they don't know what they're talking about and we're not really brother and sister. He was never adopted. He's just this guy that I fell in love with and now we're married. Maybe there's nothing weird about it at all. But from the outside world, you see these two people who were raised together in the same house for a number of years at that age as brother and sister, and it seems a little hinky. Am I right?
Yeah, and Nick claims that this is what Whitney Houston wanted.
Which
is
that's super easy to say when sure. Whitney's not around yeah. to say oh. whether that's what she
oh,
wanted.
Oh, we can't
or not.
Check with her? Okay, then that's what she wanted.
So we started talking about this off the air, talking about Bobby Christina marrying her, you know, her quote unquote brother. And we thought, I bet that's happened to the Kevin and Bean listeners because everything crazy has happened to the Kevin and Bean listeners. So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's,
glad to know.
That's the wrong button. Let's try Louie. Louie's on line two. He gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean show.
Hi, Louie.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So so tell us your story.
I started dating this girl like 15 years ago. Then my dad ended up dating her mom. So now I came back into the picture and I started dating the sister. So the sister now is kind of like, you know, a little upset about it, I think. And
she's upset because your dad is now dating her mom?
No, because I'm now dating her sister.
All right, so wait. So let me make sure I have this straight. So you were dating a woman 15 years ago. You guys broke up for whatever reason. And then by coincidence, that woman's mother married your father. So you kind of got reintroduced. Okay, so you got reintroduced to the family, and now you're dating the sister of the girl you used to date.
Exactly. That's where I'm at now.
So she's kind of your stepsister now.
Yes, she is my stepsister.
Now, is there anything weird at all about that to you two, or does it seem completely normal like you were dating somebody, I don't know, not in your family?
It felt a little weird at first, but we just have so much in common, and she's such a good person that it's working out just fine.
What about the family? The family thrilled?
Well, it's kind of just fresh, you know. We haven't really told anyone. We're just kind of just like dating. And
do you need us to make a call?
No.
Just offering.
She will rip my head off if somebody wakes her up.
Well, I mean, you certainly do have a lot in common, like, you know, parents. Thanks for the call, Louie. Roman, you hang on. Andrew as well. We're taking your calls. I dated a relative. That's the topic on the table this morning. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on Care. Greatest mystery of the Grammys this Sunday night is how Lorde is not nominated for Best New Artist, by the way.
Yeah, that is weird.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
There's two people I've not heard of in that category, but she certainly should
somehow
be
there's
in
no room for Lorde. Yeah. Right? I'm talking today about you married a relative, as Whitney Houston's daughter Bobby just did. Nick Gordon was raised as her adopted brother, and now they are married. Dear Kevin and Bean, Cynthia writes in, my aunt has been married three times. Her second husband was her first cousin. She had two kids with him, and her third husband was her nephew, and they had a kid.
What?
Now she's divorced from her third husband, but is now dating another nephew, and they have plans to marry. Everyone in the family knows this is wrong, but no one says anything. Her kids alone, you can tell they are the products of inbreeding. Ooh.
Oh.
So we are taking your calls on I Married a Relative at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Andrew, who's got it going on with his cousin right now. Andrew, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's your morning?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
That's good. Well, here's what happened is my cousin, she lived with my second cousin. But for the longest, I thought they were just friends. You know, I didn't even realize that she was my second cousin.
Right.
So we started dating, and then like 5 months into it, she's like, you know, I'm your cousin, right?
After 5 months?
Yeah.
What's your guys' ruling on second cousins? I almost feel like anything past first cousin, you're getting far enough away that I start to lose some of the ick factor. What do you guys think?
I don't really have a problem with it, although I think when you start having kids, it could be an issue.
Yeah, do you want kids, Andrew?
No, dude, we broke up like a year ago.
All right. Okay, take it easy.
I can't believe Andrew got any woman, much less a relative. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Dawn. Dawn is up next. She is on line 5 here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Dawn. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Let's talk incest. Woo! That's our new feature. Tell us about your story, Dawn.
Okay. My husband and I got married within the first 2 years of our marriage. His father, my father-in-law, secretly married my mother. And this was all going on in our home.
Okay, so they were living with you?
My mother was staying with me, helping me babysit our daughter. And his father came to visit from the Philippines. It turned into a permanent visit, and it started happening in our home.
Now, okay. Now, this isn't the exact same thing.
Yeah, they're
thing.
Definitely not and related.
They're not related at all, right? It's just weird for you.
No, but what she's saying is that she and her husband are now step siblings.
Oh.
That's what she's saying, because
true.
Her mother and his father got together, so now they're kind of related.
Yeah, so technically married my husband slash stepbrother.
All right.
And I have a father-in-law slash stepdad.
Well, family get-togethers are so much easier, though, right? Everybody's there.
Everyone's there, and we all live in the same house, and we're going on 15 years all living together.
Wow. Wow. Why doesn't anybody ever move out? This is a long time to be living with your parents.
Because they're old. We need to take care of them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right. I have to ask you one more question, Dawn. I'm so glad you called. Tell me how you and your husband found out that your parents were doing it.
Okay. I got the suspicion. We had a second marriage in the church.
Okay.
We're Catholic. And I had my suspicions because my father-in-law was always dancing with my mother.
Right.
On the dance floor. And here is my mother-in-law just watching.
Yeah.
So when we went on our second honeymoon, I kind of mentioned it to him. He got upset. So when we got back home, he approached his father, and there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
And there you go.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:50.
I'm going to say a word that's going to be very exciting for longtime Kevin and Bean fans, and that word is?
Oh, nope.
No. No. You always guess smegma. It's never smegma, Ralph, and it's never going to be smegma, okay?
Word. It's an exciting word.
It should.
A word that's exciting for longtime Kevin and Bean fans, and that word is?
Chlamydia.
Laquisha.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Laquisha on the Kevin and Bean Show, coming up right after the top of the hour. She's going to be doing a review of a show that debuted over the weekend, The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. Now, I don't know much, but I know that Laquisha will love that show. That show has everything she loves, which is to say stupid white people. That's on the way. First, though, Rev, is the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez are in the news.
They're together? Are they not together? What's going on?
Who knows? Who knows? Apparently, they were off, and then they were on again because she was diagnosed with lupus or something. She got something going on with her health, and he came back to her for that. And now the story has garnered a lot of attention because there is a series of text messages which are allegedly between the two of them back and forth. There's some debate already whether these are manufactured or real.
I want them to be real so much, don't you?
Whether they were stolen or whether they were leaked or who knows. But here's the gist.
All right.
Bieber's a dick.
Right.
That is confirmed by this series of texts, reportedly leaked by an unknown source. Again, a lot of people, including TMZ, are dubious as to whether these are real or not. But they basically consist of Bieber begging Selena Gomez to come back to him.
Right.
Her spurning his advances.
Right.
And then him going off to the extent where he texts a photo of his fully engorged
self.
Uh-huh.
Right.
With the text, "Don't tell me you didn't miss this."
Ugh.
And Gomez responding by telling Bieber to go to rehab and then asking him, "How can you let Lil Za take the fall for your actions?" Lil Za, of course, was the rapper who was busted for drug possession during last week's raid on Bieber's house. To which Bieber responds, "Can't hear you over my cash, babe."
Wow! Now, this may be a Bieber check here, but does that sound like something somebody would make up, put those words in his mouth to make him look like a dick? Or do you think he really is so much of a dick that he would text something like that to his ex-girlfriend?
Absolutely
sounds like him.
Yeah. Absolutely believe it.
Oh, absolutely. If you've heard any of the audio of any of these videotapes of him going around, it absolutely sounds like somebody would come out of his mouth.
Yep.
He follows that text up with, "You're only famous because of me."
I don't think that's true.
It isn't.
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn it!
That's why she's famous. Not because of Bieber, because of beer mug.
Hey, Lisa, does, I bet you miss this and then sending a picture of your penis, does that ever make the girl regret
not
breaking up with somebody?
A
ever?
Single time.
Don't tell me you didn't miss this.
Ugh, so
wow.
And incidentally, in more related Bieber news, he hopped out of an Escalade in Snowmass, Colorado this week and wrote his name in the snow with his urine.
Yeah.
He's a winner.
He really is.
Everything we hear about him.
I just wish he'd go back to the Bieber we all fell in love with. That's what I wish.
Hey, there was a time where the reason you hated Justin Bieber was for his music, wasn't for his personality. I'm just saying, those were the good old days.
Stop it. God damn it! It's the one I fell in love with.
Let's talk about a decent, God-fearing teen idol like Harry Styles.
Right?
Now, he has a bit of a wild boy reputation, especially when it comes to the ladies, but everyone says he's actually a good Christian boy. How do we know that? Well, he's got new photos on the internet this week of his brand new tattoo on his left forearm of the Holy Bible. Had the Bible tattooed on his forearm. Not just the cover, the entire contents of the Bible.
You can open it and read it.
Have been
any
tattooed
chapter
onto his forearm in very tiny little print. Yeah, so that's how we know he's a good boy. He's got the Bible tattooed on him.
That's a little odd, isn't
that's
it?
That's some Jesus love right there.
But I mean, you could be a hardcore religious person without getting a tattoo of the
Bible. You have to get the Bible tattooed
on
you.
Okay.
Don't you know anything about religion, Kevin?
I don't. No.
Open up a blog. More hateable people news. Khloe Kardashian, is she pregnant? She is, according to Star Magazine. It's funny, she tried to get pregnant for years with her husband, Lamar. And they are saying that she is now pregnant. However, no one's sure if the father is Lamar, Matt Kemp, or The Game. Sounds like a new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It does.
It also sounds like it'll be revealed as the father.
It also sounds like a wish list.
Save it during for sweep weeks. Well, she's been seen with all of them.
Wow.
Especially The Game. Her and The Game hang out constantly. So, she could have a little Wookiee inside her. We'll have to wait and see. And Drew Barrymore posed for Playboy at the age of 19, but she told ABC News this week that she has no plans on letting her daughter show off her goods. 18-month-old Olive will not be allowed to pose for Playboy, she says.
Wait, is somebody asking her about her 18-month-old?
Nope. Will not allow the 18-month-old to pose for Playboy. I'm glad
to
hear that.
Come back to me in 15 years with this story.
Glad to hear that.
It's relevant.
That she's not going to let her pose for Playboy.
How about more than 15, Kevin, just to play it safe?
No, but I'm saying at least at that point.
I think 17 and a half is going to get us there, Kevin.
At least at that point.
I want to wait. Come on. A little bit more.
Why?
Drew said, it's simply not her journey, she says.
She's two! How does she know what her journey's going to be?
However, despite Drew's behavior and her youth, she said she has no regrets in my life whatsoever. But she would not encourage her daughter to pose for Playboy.
Doesn't it seem like parents want to go out and have all the fun and then their kids to have none of it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like that?
Parents just don't understand.
That's true.
Exactly. That is true.
Kevin, I've always said. You would never want your kids to do many of the things that you did.
Many?
Growing up,
all
right?
Of the things.
Well, but that's because you realize at some point in your life that you're a complete and total idiot.
Right, but
you don't want your kids to be a complete
but
total idiot.
But don't your kids deserve that fun as well at 16, at 17, at 18, at 20, to be able to do those things that are some of the best memories of your life?
Be able to burn down towns and destroy and break. And
I don't think we're going to have any problem with that.
Fire. Don't you want them to have all that fun, Kevin?
Horrible parent.
They've never been arrested for anything.
Horrible parent.
That you know of.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jonathan Quick, the goalie for the Los Angeles Kings, is 28 years old.
Oh, the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings, if you don't mind, Ralph.
From what year?
Yeah, how far back can we go?
Forever.
Forever are they forever? Stanley Cup winning?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, great. Congratulations, I hadn't realized. Singer Emma Bunton, she was Baby Spice of the Spice Girls, she's 38. DJ Chris Gilmore of Incubus is 41. Singer Cat Power celebrates her 42nd birthday. Gina Davis, the actress, is 58. And singer-songwriter, Billy Ocean!
Is this his only hit?
No.
No, lots of
Lots of hits.
Get Out of My Mind, Into My Car.
Yeah. Lover Boy. They'll Be Sad songs.
Ooh. All right, take it easy.
Had a bunch.
But how ironic is it that Billy Ocean's biggest hit came when he was singing about an ocean?
Yay!
Deep, man, deep.
Caribbean Ocean, and his name is Ocean.
What do you care?
So glad his name wasn't Billy Ghetto. And be like, Ghetto Queen!
Say what?
When are you pipe-hitting bitches going to pass me the potato? I'm 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. What?
You are?
Billy Ocean is 64 years old today.
I just feel it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later this hour to recap the NFC and AFC championships over the weekend and preview the Super Bowl. And also, we got to talk to Andrew, Kevin, about all the talk of eliminating the extra point after the touchdown. Apparently, that's the thing that they're seriously considering. Yes, it is real. Wow. Even the commissioner of football was talking about it over the weekend. So we'll catch up on all that. First, though, let's welcome back to the program for the first time in 2014. I don't think we talked to you at all last year either. Our friend LaQuisha joins us on the phone. Hey, LaQuisha, how are you?
Shut up.
What do you mean, shut? We just said hello.
I am not happy with you.
We haven't talked to you in like a year.
I know, and it's a year too soon.
Come on, LaQuisha. I thought we were friends.
Well, I thought so too until you told me to watch.
Say, I know you haven't been on the radio in a while, but you can't use the S word. Listen, you told us that you love stupid white people, so when we found a show with the most stupid white people on it, we called you up.
If I want to talk about stupid white people, I just talk about your show. Play clips from that.
Wow.
This
no
show,
love
by
lost
the way,
here.
Is not even about stupid white people.
What is it
There's
about?
There's only one stupid white person on the whole damn show. You got a stupid Chinese girl, you got a stupid Persian girl, you got a stupid black gay guy, and one stupid white girl. This is an equal opportunity stupidity show.
So they're all stupid.
They're all very wealthy and very, very stupid.
Okay. All right. Who airs
the show? The show itself is so horrible and so poorly produced
right.
and so difficult to suffer through
right.
that I hope you get ass AIDS.
Come on, LaQuisha.
Wow.
This is just episode one.
And the end.
No, this
of all
is the
episodes that I'm going to be talking about.
This
I
is
think
the,
I'll pick the shows from now on. How about that?
This is the beginning of a long and wondrous career with you highlighting this show, which will have many seasons. No?
I will cut you.
All right.
All right. Who airs The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills? Where can our listeners see this one?
E.
Okay.
E.
All right.
E,
so what do we need?
Stands for excrement.
What do we need to know about episode one?
You need to meet the two main stars of the show, Dorothy Wang and Morgan Stewart.
Okay.
They're besties in Beverly Hills, and they're both horrible human beings. And Dorothy Wang and Morgan start off the show by just shopping in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive.
Is this a marathon? These are heavy, these bags, honestly. I'm dying. Weight training. Literally. Walking from Barney's up Rodeo is always like a cardio. My boob sweat at this moment in time, I have like a puddle forming right here that's literally separating. Whew. Your boobs look great. It takes a lot of coordination and tact to be a shopper on Rodeo, and a power shopper at that, which we are.
Oh, my God. Do they talk like that all the time, LaQuisha?
That is the actual voices of actual people.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
These aren't characters from Saturday Night Live. These are real people. And they're very wealthy people.
Oh, wow.
That have more money than you will ever have. And they are horrible human beings.
It's like weight training, though, to be really power shop
it's
on Rodeo.
It's exhausting to carry bags and bags of ridiculously overpriced merchandise that you would never really appreciate, that is better than some people make in an entire year of their poor-ass lives.
Yeah.
All right. I'm already in love with this show. What happens next?
Well, let me introduce you more in-depth to the characters.
Okay.
Dorothy Wang is a girl of Chinese descent whose father is a billionaire.
Oh, no.
And Dorothy puts the Wang back in Wang, in my opinion. Here she is describing herself.
My name is Dorothy Wang. I'm 25 years old. And my occupation is being fun employed in Fabulous.
He is fun employed and fabulux.
Okay.
Wow.
That's how she defines herself.
Wow.
But she has big dreams, too, because her father is a very wealthy Chinese businessman, and she has aspirations of her own.
Growing up, my parents didn't talk about money. Honestly, it wasn't until it was printed in Forbes that I knew how much money we had. My dad is a businessman, so I've always thought in a bigger sense. When I grow up, I want to be the Asian sensation of the world.
Her goal, her career goal is to be the Asian sensation of the world.
Well, I think that position is open.
LaQuisha, how can you not love this show?
How can you not die?
Well, the difference between LaQuisha and us is we didn't spend 2 hours watching this nonsense, but your highlights really make us happy.
Let's meet Morgan Stewart now, the only obnoxious white person
okay.
in the cast.
All right.
She is also ridiculously wealthy through no doing of her own, but she's creative. She's got a blog.
My name's Morgan Stewart. I'm from Beverly Hills, California. I'm 26 years old, and I have a blog called Boobs and Loops. My blog is a perfect representation of me. I have very large boobs and a very large affinity for Louboutin.
She got a blog called Boobs and Lubes, which you think would be some kind of interesting.
Right.
But no, it's just selfies of her and her Christian Louboutin shoes.
And that's how she spends her time.
That's a place you go to read things and look at things about her boobs and her shoes.
Are any of these people hot?
But they're all sort of attractive in a way that money can buy anybody attractiveness.
Okay, all right.
But what the hell does that matter? Have you heard them?
Yeah. I haven't.
All they do all day long is take pictures of themselves and put it on Instagram. Hey. They're checking Instagram all the goddamn time.
Hey, she's the Asian sensation. Let's give her a little credit.
Well, she's also Insta-famous on Instagram.
Right.
I've taken so many selfies on my cell phone today, it's like embarrassing. I think I'm somewhat Insta-famous in the Instagram world. Right now, I have 16,000 Instagram followers, and none of them are purchased. God.
Oh my God.
How could she be against purchasing Instagram followers when she purchases everything else of any kind of value in her life
her
daddy's $3 billion fortune? They buy their friends, they buy everything else, but she won't buy Instagram followers?
Ugh. Ugh.
Then let's meet the third member of this little triumph, and that is Roxy. Roxy is a Persian princess whose father is a Persian billionaire, and she also has a great deal of self-worth in what she accomplishes in the course of her day.
My name is Roxy Solati. I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Beverly Hills. I'm totally a Persian princess, and sorry to say that, but I love it. I'm totally an expert shopper. I could shop for a living. Nothing makes me happier in the world. My parents gave me 6 unlimited credit cards and, like, unlimited Bergdorf's and Neiman's and Saks and Barney's cards. I think I'd probably spend, like, $20,000 to $30,000 a month sometime.
Your total's $488,680.50.
That's from one shopping trip, that
Holy
number.
Holy cow.
Almost $500,000 she spent in one store.
Did she buy a house?
I hope she bought cancer.
Wow.
I hope she bought terminal inside cancer.
Wow. That's shocking.
God, what's wrong with these parents?
They are horrible, too, Lisa.
They are horrible.
Everybody in this show is horrible, but not as horrible as Kevin and Bean for making me watch it.
Aw, LaQuisha.
Now, they don't like to party at the clubs, these girls, because regular people go to clubs. Mm. So what they do is every week they get a penthouse at the most expensive hotel in Beverly Hills, and they cater their own party.
Ah.
But there are rules you have to follow when you're at their parties, like how you eat the caviar at the party.
There's caviar from the Caspian Sea.
Oh, Caspian.
If we're going to have a party, we want to do it right. Cheers. A little caviar toast. The number one rule of caviar etiquette is don't be that person that goes, ew, what's that? I feel like 8-year-old kids from the Valley
do that. What's that?
Yeah, that's what 8-year-old kids from the Valley do. They look at their Caspian Sea caviar and go, ooh, what's that? That's what all the 8-year-olds in the Valley do.
This might be the best show ever.
It might be. LaQuisha, does she talk like that all the time? Like every break, every time she opens her mouth, does she sound like that?
Take
it easy, LaQuisha.
I just can't believe she's real. I can't even believe it.
This show is nothing about nothing.
Right.
Featuring no one.
Right.
All they do is eat and shop. And
okay.
then take pictures of themselves. That's all they do. Nothing else happens.
They're Insta-famous.
So they
That's
have
right.
to manufacture some sort of content for the show so they give them BS things to do and make them pretend like they came up with it. Like, how about a Beverly Hills blood drive? This is episode one. They're going to a blood drive. That's all they got.
And, like, I feel like we should do a blood drive, a Beverly Hills blood drive, like a picnic.
I mean, I would love to help you with that if you yeah, actually want to do
no.
something. I mean, I have nothing better going on, and I
yeah.
have never given blood.
Do you think everyone, all of our friends will?
Yeah.
We should make flyers.
Yes.
It should be, like, a community thing. Like, everyone should be wanting to give back.
Dorothy the Do-Gooder.
I know.
It's like a hair flip.
I know. I just, like, you know, have so many facets to me.
She is the modern day Mother Teresa.
She has one facet. That's all she has. And then she bought it. That's all facets that she has. These girls so dumb, so horrible. They can't perform the everyday task of opening a bottle of wine. They struggle. The show
what?
Had 20 minutes of them struggling to open a bottle of wine. That's what kind of show we're talking about. Here's them trying to open a bottle of wine.
And I have no idea how to do it. I don't have to open my own bottle of wine. Neither am I. This is why I have a boyfriend. I mean, why do we need to know how to open our own wine when there's always a sommelier? Don't, like, poke your eyeball out. I'm already sweating. Isn't it out?
No.
And then you flip the arms down.
Oh, that's the first time I've successfully opened my own bottle.
I should take a picture and send it to your mom. She's going to be so mad.
Opening wine is the hardest thing in the entire world to do.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Not climbing Mount Everest, but
not having a job.
No.
Opening a bottle of wine.
Not beating AIDS.
Not raising a child.
Oh.
Not anything else.
This is the best show ever.
This is the worst show with the worst people that has ever been broadcast on television. E-Network, the people who brought you the Kardashians,
yep.
have reached a new low.
Yeah, that's something.
Hey, LaQuisha. We're out of time. We're out of time.
But
I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. You are clearing your calendar every Sunday night for Rich Kids of Beverly Hills so that we can recap this show each week, right?
We are on the same page. And that page is covered with anthrax, and I'm mailing it to you.
No, but seriously, we'll talk to you next week.
No, but seriously, burn in hell and die.
Gisela Garcia from Montebello, home of this year's Miss Double December, by the way. Montebello just won tickets to the K-Rock pre-Grammy parties. She's going to be seeing Young the Giant at the Grammy Museum this Friday night and Fitz in the Tantrums at the Conga Room on Saturday. Your chance to win next hour and all week long here on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Hey, how about the Afro Line? On the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail. You can call us 24-7. What are people talking about today?
They are talking about loving The Bachelor Report just as much as you and I do.
Shut up about The Bachelor already. Just shut up about The Bachelor. Shut up.
Yeah. Amen.
I am down with that.
I'm sorry. Is K-Rock in 2014 playing Three Doors Down? What the f*** is happening?
Hey, we announced that we were playing it ironically, okay? Why don't you get the joke, man?
Haven't heard from a while from our man, Sam.
Come on, come on!
Always good to hear from him, right?
Bender was he on?
I don't know. Some Bean love. There seems to be some issues with audio coming from Bean's end. One of them is a computer click.
Yeah.
Which I tell him, it's pretty loud, and he says, nobody notices.
Bean, stop breathing into the microphone!
And there's breathing into the microphone.
Oh my God, you are ruining my podcast. All I hear is, I have a very long-winded question that takes away all of my breath. Click, 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 click. So Bean, stop clicking. Stop breathing and just shut the f*** up.
No thoughts on that?
I'm doing all those things.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, this message is for Bean. Is there any chance you could turn up the volume on your mouse? I get a little confused between the single clicks and the double clicks, and I can't quite tell if it's a left click or a right click. Thanks a lot.
Bean, what's in the box? What's in the box?
Kevin's a Christmas gift he's asking about.
Which I, Bean did finally open.
I did finally open, and it was a piece of post office memorabilia, an official 1964 mailbag, a very thoughtful gift for Mr. and Mrs. Kevin. I just want you guys to know that I brought in a team that cleaned up all the little packing peanuts that came out of the box, but I did, in fact, successfully extricate the gift from the box.
I only listen to the podcast when I'm at the gym because I find that when I get pissed off at Bean, I work out much, much harder. So, thanks.
Thanks, question mark.
Doing my part to keep the listeners healthy.
Lisa may get some love.
Hey, Lisa, when you were sick, was your throat sore? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
Man, I want some harmonious music. Can you play that beautiful sounding tune of Lisa to brighten my day when she sings Linkin Park? Amazing.
It is beautiful. I don't think we've given her enough credit for this, but man. She sings like an angel.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
It's a masterpiece.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, and Joe, back over to you.
And with that,
what was that?
Another Super Bowl storyline is born. Sunday, February 2nd in New Jersey, Broncos versus Seahawks. Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us from the NFL Around the League live show on the NFL Network. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
I thought we were going to just talk about a bridge and, like, Chris Christie in New Jersey all week. Yeah, we're going to talk about football.
So I'm concerned because the Seahawks clearly can be beaten. They were a few inches away from losing that game with 22 seconds left if the 49ers would have made that pass and gotten a touchdown there. But it doesn't seem to me like anyone can beat the Broncos. Does Seattle have a chance, Andrew?
Of course they do, because partly because of that man you just played.
Who was that man? Was that the quarterback?
No, Richard Sherman. Oh, Richard Sherman. He's a cornerback. He's a pro bowler. He is, by most people's estimations, currently the best cornerback in the game. And because he and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and everyone else in that secondary are really, really, really good at shutting down an opponent's passing game, then yes, they absolutely, unequivocally have a chance, and I think a decent chance.
I just feel like Peyton Manning is having a season like no quarterback I can ever remember. I mean, how is he ranking historically with what he's done this year?
What he did in the regular season cannot be argued is the greatest regular season in the history of professional football. He threw for more yards than any quarterback ever. He broke Drew Brees' record, and he threw for 55 stinking touchdowns, which broke Tom Brady's record. If anyone were to break Peyton Manning's record of 55, they would have to average 3.5 touchdowns per game over
wow.
the 16-game schedule. I mean, even if you just play fantasy football and you're a number cruncher, you realize that ain't happening. The only person breaking it is him,
right?
Potentially
right.
Next year.
Now, I heard something yesterday, and there was so much football to watch and so much analysis to watch this weekend, but I heard something yesterday that really surprised me, Andrew, and it was somebody talking about, and I wish I had a source for you, that Peyton Manning may not still be out of the woods health-wise, and there's still a chance that he is subject to future injury with that neck problem. What's going on?
I mean, look, every time he drops back to pass, he's subject to future injury. I mean, that goes for every player on the field. I'm not trying to just, you know, dance around that. But what there was is a report a couple of weeks ago, Chris Mortensen and ESPN, that said as part of Peyton's contract, he has to go through an exam on his neck and his back and all this after the season before they continue. This isn't exactly, I'm not trying to shoot down Chris's report, but it's not, everybody goes through a postseason physical.
They do. Okay, so this is normal.
It, I mean, this isn't anything. No one thinks that Peyton's about to break down.
Right. Okay.
That no one's suggesting that he is on the verge of reverting back to the condition that kept him out for an entire season. But hey, if no one touches him, it doesn't matter. How many times the Patriots touched him on Sunday?
Never. Right.
Not, no.
They didn't.
They didn't.
I think. I think you tweeted. Quarter. You tweeted he didn't even have to wash the uniform after that game, right?
Well, there is a stat that the NFL keeps called quarterback hits. It's not a sack. It's not a hurry. I mean, we have like 15 different ways.
Yeah, you have sacks. You have hurries. You have
right. All this. He was. They did not register a QBH, a quarterback hit, and he was only technically under duress three times the entire game.
How are the Seahawks at rushing the passer?
Much better than the Patriots.
All right.
They will get to him. They will sack him. They will play better defense than the Patriots, and he will not carve them up. This is not going to be a 42-38 game in any way, shape, or form.
Is it going to be completely low scoring? I mean, are we looking at 17-14 type game?
I think it's in the 20s, but that's just a guess early. But guys, look, right now they're going to get 9 inches of snow today in Denver. I'm sorry, not in Denver, in New York.
Yes.
They turn on the news right now. Up and down the East Coast, flights are getting canceled. Now, granted, we're still 12 days away from the game. But the temperature for Monday, the low, a week from yesterday, so when most people will be arriving in New York next Monday,
right,
a week before the game, the low is going to be 18.
Wow. Now, does that favor either team? Because obviously Denver's a much colder weather city than Seattle is.
It favors Seattle.
Really? How come?
Because they run the football, they play defense, and historically, and we'll be talking about this all week, at nauseam to the point where Peyton might even flip on the podium.
Right.
Peyton historically is not good in the cold. Now, most quarterbacks aren't good in the cold. The ball becomes like a shot put after a certain temperature.
And by the way, sometimes the receivers drop the ball too.
Sometimes they do as well. Now, in the snow, I mean, if we get to a game where the snow is actually falling, receivers will tell you that they have the advantage because they know where they're going. The defensive backs, often backpedaling, have to react to where the receivers are going. So they're a step behind and a step that in the snow they often can't make up. Or they're going to fall when they try to change direction.
Right.
But we're not there yet.
We are visiting with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network right now on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the Super Bowl matchup, Seattle versus Denver. Hey, I heard at one point that there were contingency plans if the weather is bad enough that Super Bowl Sunday might end up being Super Bowl Monday or Super Bowl Tuesday. Is that for real?
We can't really talk about those. But yes, technically there are. Well, wait a minute. Like, guys, if there's like 20 inches of snow falling.
You play, it's football.
If there is a nor'easter blizzard, they're not going to play the game.
Do they ever cancel NFL games due to weather? Has that ever happened? Look at Green Bay. They were playing below zero a couple of weeks ago.
It doesn't happen, but it's not a case of canceling the game because they don't want the players out there because they're going to be cold. It's a public safety issue. Look, it's got to be a blizzard. I mean, it's got to be bad.
Right. Really bad.
For them to do it. Like, to the point where, I mean, you guys have been to these games before, whether it's a bowl game, a Super Bowl, or whatever. The amount of public resources that are required for security, for traffic, for police, for fire, overwhelming. I mean, it is taxing on any municipality. Mm-hmm. And if you get to the point where the weather is so bad that it is against the public interest to play that game, you talk about it. But, I mean, it's got to be really, really, really bad.
You know how they could fight that is not choose a place like East Rutherford, New Jersey for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But it's New York. I mean, why not do it once, right?
Because it's cold. That's why.
And it's February. Hey, let me ask you one more thing. We're desperately running low on time, but I promised that we would ask you this because there was a lot of talk yesterday about some comments the commissioner made about seriously investigating doing away with the extra point kick after touchdown. What do you think?
At first I said, what? He was actually in our building. I mean, he was in town and he said it to us, said it to Rich Eisen in our studios in L.A. So here's what it would
What's the advantage?
Okay, well, two things. Number one, nobody misses extra points. I think only five were missed. Only 17 have been missed in the last 3 years. So nobody misses extra points.
Right.
Why waste time? The rule that may be proposed, and this is a way off, is you give the team an automatic seven. so you do not kick the extra point. Why waste the time? However, if you would like to line it up and go for what we now know is a two-point conversion, you can get to 8, just as you can now, but if you fail on the two-point conversion, they'll take a point back, and your touchdown was worth only 6. It doesn't sound that crazy when you think it through.
How about that? Boy, huh. that would be interesting. I would give you a lot more scoring options, huh?
But actually, it really wouldn't change anything because nobody misses extra points. You always get the 7. You always get it. And you can still go for 2 under this proposal, or this idea, rather. You could get to 8. But if you fail, you're going to go back to 6.
Go back to 6.
And then you can kick an extra point from twice as far out, and then you'll get that point back.
And then you can bring a guy from the stands, and if he kicks one, then it's worth 9 points.
And have dragons and put, like, spikes in the end zone.
I like it.
I love it. Now we're talking. Yeah. All right. I know we'll be speaking with you again between now and the big game. Hey, are you going to the Super Bowl, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
So we can just bunk with you then, right?
Sure, yeah. Hotel rooms are not at a shortage at all.
All right, NFL Network Around the League live this afternoon at 3. Thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Roth is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
I'm
going
to give you something.
All right.
What do I get?
I like you. Not you.
Oh. The good people.
Oh.
What'd I get?
Well, at least I would give you one of these if I could, but sadly I can't. I'm going to give it to a listener, however, which is the next best thing to Lisa May. How would you like to get a brand new, sweet-ass Samsung Smart Blu-ray player?
Yeah! That would be cool. I'll
give you a Blu-ray player. That's
we
what
have
I'm
a winner,
you.
Believe it or not.
We don't have a winner yet. I haven't even said anything. Plus, you get a copy of the complete first season of The Following.
Oh.
Starring Kevin Bacon, a terrific TV series, which returns on Monday, January the 27th at 8 p.m. on Fox 11. So all that good stuff is for you. A Blu-ray player plus a Blu-ray set of the complete first season of The Following, which is also in stores now if you want to pick it up. All that can be yours, my sweet friends. If you call 1-800-520-1067, caller number 12, will be the lucky winner of a Samsung Smart Blu-ray player and the complete first season of The Following from Fox. Then, in a couple months, you can get the Batman TV series on Blu-ray. And then your life is perfect. Then everything is perfect for you.
I think I'm all right without that.
You are going to get it.
I don't think I'm
Everyone's getting one. You're getting one. You're getting one.
I don't think so.
Everyone gets one. I'm like Oprah when it comes to the Batman box set. Miley Cyrus. I don't need any more Miley Cyrus.
You heard enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But MTV thinks we need more, so they announced yesterday they have signed her up for an Unplugged show, which will air on Wednesday, January the 29th. Miley Cyrus, Unplugged. Yeah, finally, we get to see the true artist doing intimate new versions of her hit songs. She'll be unplugged. She will be licking an acoustic hammer.
That's
the
Unplugged
she's going to get.
Acoustic hammer.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There's an electric hammer.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
you got me there. Yeah, it's many of her tracks off her newest album, Bangers, and it'll be an intimate setting where she will stick her tongue out.
There
she is now.
That's
good stuff.
Yes.
More on the talentless and annoying Justin Bieber may have a scissorp addiction. According to friends, they're urging him to get treatment for his addiction to scissorp. Scissorp, of course, for those of you who don't know, is a mix of prescription-strength codeine cough syrup, a soft drink for that fizzy fun factor, and then, you know, some hard candies for extra sweetness, maybe a couple of Jolly Ranchers or something along
those lines. Yeah! That's hot! I'm gonna try some scissorp, you guys. I haven't had that.
I think you should take a ton of it.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
You should drink a gallon of
it. It's best used in a gallon form.
Yeah, you should just get yourself an empty milk jug, one of those gallon milk jugs. Fill that up, and then just put it into like a beer bong situation, and just take as much as you can as quickly as possible.
All right, if you guys say so, if that's how it's done.
That's the safest way to enjoy it.
Okay.
The drug, according to doctors, produces euphoric side effects, including motor skill impairment, lethargy, drowsiness, a dissociative feeling from all other parts of the body.
What did you do?
Or
or Kevin, or also known as Kevin.
How dare you?
Also has Kevin factor.
What did you do?
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
I like to drink the syrup on the pod bus.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Los Angeles Kings goalie Jonathan Quick. He's 28 years old today. How's he doing? Is he back? Is he healthy?
He's healthy.
Everything's good.
They didn't exactly win the last two games.
Oh,
but
well, that happened.
Playing well?
Sure, there's that happened.
What's your definition of playing well if you're a goalie and you're not winning?
You only lose by one goal instead of four.
Okay.
It makes a big difference.
Flyers lost in a shootout to the Islanders yesterday. Oh, I hate that. They were up like 3-2 with just like a minute to go, and they tied it up, and then went to OT, and then the shootout.
Boston.
That shootout.
Shootout is a heartbreaker.
It's a heartbreaker or it's a daymaker, one or the other. It's like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever, or it's the worst thing ever. Emma Bunton, Baby Spice of the Spice Girls, 38 years old today.
She's your favorite, right?
No, I'm a ginger man.
Oh, you're a ginger man.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
DJ Chris Gilmore of Incubus is 41 years old. Singer Cat Power, 42. Actress Gina Davis celebrates her 58th birthday. And singer, songwriter, legend, Mr. William Ocean. Billy Ocean!
Out of my dreams.
Uh-huh. Where should I go then, Billy?
What a lame song.
That is the pedophile national anthem.
Into my
got
band,
some candy.
Say.
Did he do When the Going Gets Tough?
That was him, too.
Is that him? Oh, boy. Billy's got a body of work.
He's
I think
back.
Romancing the Stone? Wasn't that another
that was,
one of
that,
his?
Did that was the that? Theme for Romancing the Stone, I think.
No!
We all love Billy. He's 64 years old today.
No!
We do. We love him.
No!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
Experts are stupid. Absurd.
The show behind the show today has been very entertaining, you guys. I can't speak for what's made the air, but what hasn't made the air has been a lot of fun to listen to.
I want to see the new e-show, Rich Kevins of Encino. That's what I want to see. That's the new reality show I want to watch.
Sir.
People know things are dumb.
Intelligence is overrated.
Oh, so stupid with that.
Knowledge is for the birds.
Experts are stupid, absurd.
Hey, you got one more showbiz beat in you, Ralph?
I think I can manage. It's all Biebs all the time lately.
He refuses to get off the stage, right?
I've been talking. It's true. Except when he's on stage.
Yeah.
Well, it's the only time. He'll gladly walk off stage and come on late on stage, but he won't get off stage in real life. We've been recapping his SZA prediction, which, of course, now has been leaked by friends that he is taking prescription-strength cough syrup and mixing it with soft drinks and hard candies to make a delicious taste treat. He uses the highest-strength codeine syrup on the market, Actavis, according to insiders, which costs $800 a pint. Well, only the best when it comes to ghetto drinks for Justin Bieber. Only the highest.
As a guy just getting started on his Scissorp habit, I'm looking forward to it. Is there some cheaper way to get into the game, Ralph?
First, let's help you out by stop calling it Scissorp. It's Scissorp.
It's Scissorp, yeah.
It's Scissorp, man. Like scissors.
Do you buy it by the pint?
Well, you buy this cough syrup by the pint.
All right.
And then you mix it with, you know, your Mountain Dew and your Jolly Ranchers and what have you.
Okay. But it's a controlled substance. I mean, you have to get a prescription for
it,
right?
Well, sure. Yeah, you do it illegally.
Or black market.
It's not, you know. It's not worth dabbling in lethal drugs unless they're illegal. And then I did also mention that he was seen in Colorado hopping out of his Escalade and writing his name in the snow with his urine.
Sure.
So he's got that going for him.
There's that.
But now he went from Colorado and hopped on his private jet to Miami, where according to TMZ, he dropped $75,000 in a strip club.
How?
That's more than even Kevin has spent at a strip club.
How is it possible?
Honestly.
The King of Diamonds was the name of the club he was at. It was at 2 of 10 Little Scrappy's birthday party, though.
Oh, and Little Scrappy.
Little Scrappy.
Sure.
You know, you got a party when it's Little Scrappy's birthday party. I wonder if his cousin Scooby-Doo came to the party. Justin got the $75,000 in. Play our game. Fill in the blank. In?
I don't understand what kind of sentence we're trying to complete
strip club
here.
Dollars?
Beer Mug understands and you don't. Singles.
No.
Got so the $75K in singles.
So this wasn't a bar tab.
No,
he
this
was paying
to make
for high end liquor.
This was
oh
to
my
rain.
God!
He made it rain with $75K in ones.
What?
Beer Mug understood that. Everyone else was confused. Beer Mug got it.
But he's
right
on
away.
The same wavelength as
he
Bieber.
Is. He is our Bieber.
He's our Bieber.
We call him Bieber, Bieber Mug.
That you could kill a woman by burying her in that kind of cash, though, couldn't you?
But what a way to go-go.
Wow.
Go-go, because they're dancers.
I got it.
You didn't get it.
I did get it.
You don't get it, man.
I don't get it in general. That's true.
Is Khloe Kardashian pregnant? According to Star Magazine, she is. No word.
Do friends tell them that? Friends say.
Friends say. Yeah. No word yet on what species she'll be having, but according to Star Magazine, she has struggled to get pregnant for years and now is expecting, but isn't sure if it's Lamar Odom's, Matt Kemp's, or the Games baby.
Oh, that's sweet.
This should be a game show. This should be something on
absolutely.
E. That E should spin off. Who knocked up Khloe? And you get the three guys like on a panel, and there's a host. Alex Trebek comes out.
Oh, why not go for old school, get Mari Povich to do it?
Yeah. Mopo. That's what we need.
You are not.
Now, I didn't follow
that's Lamar
the...
there screaming.
That was Lamar. I didn't follow the Kardashians show, but did they explore her infertility issues on the program?
Oh, yes.
Was it determined that Lamar was the one who was had weak sauce sperm or what?
No, it was a famous, famous episode.
What was it? What did they come up with?
Where Kim went in to get her eggs checked out.
Right.
She was concerned about her eggage, her eggosity.
Right.
To use the scientific term.
That's not a scientific
her eggosity. Term. And so they had to run some tests. They had to go into the dairy section there of her uterus and, you know, where they keep the eggs and go through a couple cartons to see what kind of shape they were in.
But you said right. Kim. We're talking about
we're talking about Khloe.
Why
yeah.
don't you just wait a second?
But you're talking about Kim.
So Khloe accompanies her to the fertility doctor.
Uh-huh.
And Kim says to her sister, Khloe, wait for it. Why don't you get your eggs checked out while we're here, too? Let's see how your fertility is fending for itself these days. And so they put her up, you know, they got a forklift and they got some sort of winch and pulley system and they raised her in the air and they got a guy with a mining helmet, tied a rope around his waist and he went spelunking and apparently her eggs are no bueno.
No bueno.
Oh, her eggs are no bueno.
To use the scientific term, no bueno,
no bueno.
Huevos.
Hmm. So negative
huevos
agosity.
Malo, they call it, actually,
oh,
in,
I
down
see.
At Cedar Sinai.
That's not what they say.
They do. They say huevos malos.
You are speaking a lot of Spanish since El Bachelor started
Bachelor.
Showing up on your TVs on Monday nights. Okay, so
I'm
wait.
Poverty.
So how is she all of a sudden pregnant then
well,
with the
had,
bad eggs?
She had the low... fertility, whatever
right.
That situation was.
That doesn't mean you can't.
Doesn't mean you can't, exactly.
Okay. It just means you have to have lots of sex with lots of different guys
they
in
never,
order for one to take.
For the best of my knowledge, they never checked Lamar's motility.
Is that
see,
the accurate
see,
word?
That is an actual
okay.
accurate word. To see what his sperm situation was like. So that may have been a contributing factor, but
I
know,
see.
Maybe the game has got some swimmers, you know, or Matt Kemp was swinging for the fences or whatever, and, you know, magic happened. Next thing you know, you get a little Wookiee human hybrid.
Do you want to be on that list of people that might be the father?
I was
of
thinking
Khloe's?
it's kind of embarrassing
yes.
if your name's even like lumped in, right?
Yes.
But look at that family.
I know, but if
you
you're Matt Kemp, do you
no
want
matter
that
who you are, you come out on top of the list. You're comparing yourself to Scott Disick.
Yeah.
Kanye West. How much more embarrassing could it be? Look, better knock her up than to marry her. That could be worse. Better than joining the family, being on the Christmas card.
Yeah, true.
So, we'll have to wait and see if there's some sort of resolution.
I guess my point is Khloe Kardashian is not someone you publicly admit to having sex with. That's all.
That's correct.
I don't think.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Good news for Kevin and other fans of PBS's Sherlock.
Oh, so good.
Season 3 premiere pulled in 4 million viewers for Masterpiece. People are speculating. It's largely because, first of all, it's a great show. But secondly, Benedict Cumberbatch has become a huge star in the interim since the second season went off the air.
He's a sex symbol now. He's a movie star. He's con. Got all things, kinds of things going on for him.
Kevin, did you tune in early? Catch a little Downton Abbey while you're at it?
I would have. I sat down with DirecTV to try and find out what channel PBS is, as I never go there. And didn't have it. So then I called.
You didn't have PBS?
No. And then I texted. And then they said, yeah, if you already have it. And
if
you
have television, you have it.
And I said, I don't know what it would be. You know what I mean? Like, how do you look?
I don't know what it would be.
How do you look?
Don't you do a search for the TV show and then it gives you the channels?
Didn't happen. I tried that. It didn't come up. So then
finally... probably under Masterpiece.
It's under Masterpiece Mystery. And right. So I finally went down to the local channels, which is 2 through 90 or whatever that is, mm-hmm. and realized that I had PBS on channel 50. Who knew?
Well,
everyone.
Actually.
Who knew?
You've got it. You've got several PBS channels to choose from, by the way.
Nope, just that one.
No, you've got all of them.
I only have that one.
No, you don't. You have
channel 28, KCT. You've got to have that.
You've got that.
Oh, okay. I have two.
You've got the Orange County PBS station. You've got the Los Angeles PBS station. Hmm. You've got several PBSs.
Well, anyway, by the time I had found it, it was halfway in. So I had to record the later version of it. But I got it.
What a full-time job it is being you, Kevin.
I'm on it.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
So I took a week to look into PBS, and I found it late.
Kevin's TV must have just been spinning out. Like, whoa, what's happening right now? What is happening?
My DVR's like, hell no.
It's been like a master cleanse. Like, every episode of Ice Road Truck just got pooped out.
What are you trying to record on me right now, Kevin?
It's awesome. It's like eating kale. I'm getting some nutrition. Instead of that steady diet of fudge that Kevin packs into me, that fudge packer.
How dare you? By the way, that Sherlock is a great show.
Okay, thanks for that update.
Great.
Thanks for that update.
Fine.
Dude,
anything you'd like to say about Tom Hanks while we're covering this
He's
stuff?
A terrific actor.
Oh, okay,
hey,
good.
Listen.
I think we've got all the obvious covered.
Now that you've discovered PBS, Kevin, give that Downton Abbey a try.
Nope.
It's the biggest hit PBS has ever had, and it's great, and you might as well. You're on that channel that night. Check it out. See what you think.
Nope.
But now you know where to find Antique Roadshow.
Oh, dear God. Hate that. Bean, by the way, is a guy who has told me that I would hate Downton Abbey.
And you would hate it.
And now he's like, hey, you should go check it out.
Yeah. You should check. You should see it once. Just for the phenomena. Just to know what it is. Like, I watched Duck Dynasty once just because it was the biggest show on television. I wanted
that's
at least see what it was about.
That is on you.
That's
I'm not.
You're bad.
That's you being bad.
I'm saying it's worth knowing about.
Not
that,
interested,
though.
Sir.
After we talked to LaQuisha, I heard Bean say, oh, yeah, I watched that show, too.
He
Rich
did.
Kids of Beverly Hills.
Right.
Who does that? By choice.
I remember this weekend, I remember thinking, thank God I don't have to watch that show because LaQuisha's going to give us the highlights.
I thought it might be helpful for the conversation we were having with LaQuisha on the air today, so that's why I watched it. That was my due
LaQuisha's
diligence.
Not capable of playing the clips
prep.
And doing that for you?
Sometimes it brings up questions that I might want to ask or whatever, but I won't make that mistake again.
You could do it next week, then, because I don't know that we have LaQuisha.
Yeah, I don't think she's volunteering, so maybe Bean will cover it next week.
Didn't sound like LaQuisha loved the show, Rich Kids of Beverly Hills.
He's got entirely too much time on his hands, Bean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, forgive me for doing some show prep, you guys.
Caring too much.
I know, it's all, but you're just too full of love. That's your problem. Too much love. DVDs available today. It is Tuesday. It's new release day. Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks and Barkhad Abdi. Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen film starring Cate Blanchett. She's getting a ton of awards for that, and rightly so. Machete Kills, Danny Trejo and Sofia Vergara. Instructions Not Included. That's that Mexican film that took the box office by storm when it came out. A little tiny, low-budget film. It was a smash hit with Eugenio Derbez.
Sure.
And Loretta Peralta. In a World with Lake Bell. What a charming, lovely film that is. I really enjoyed that. Jeff Garland is also in that film. Fred Melamed. Charlie Countryman with Shia LaBeouf, Evan Rachel Wood, and Rupert Grint. The film where famously Shia LaBeouf, upon seeing that his character takes LSD, decided it would be a wise decision for he himself to trip out on acid.
And then, method acting, man.
Then he destroyed the set and got naked and fought an invisible owl.
Oh.
Rupert Grint said it would scare anyone off of taking drugs, watching him go through all that. And Bad Milo...
Kevin's pick for Oscars this year, starring Ken Marino, about a man who's got a demon who lives in his butt.
Come on.
Comes out of his butt and attacks his enemies. Bad Milo, the butt demon.
How does it get better than that?
It does.
It just doesn't.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Los Angeles Kings goalie Jonathan Quick is 28 years old today. Singer Emma Bunton. You may remember her as Baby Spice, an adorable little blonde girl from the Spice Girls. She's now 38 years old. DJ Chris Gilmore of Incubus is 41. Cat Power, 42 years old today. Actress Gina Davis is 58. And the name we've been celebrating all morning long, the legendary Sir William Ocean. Billy Ocean celebrates his 64th birthday today. That's right. But what about Love on the Run, Billy?
No more Love on the Run.
No more Love on the Run. Nope.
Thanks for clarifying that.
I just wanted to make sure y'all knew what Billy was trying to get across. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show from the Los Angeles Kings organization. We have Luke Robitaille in the studio talking about the Kings Ducks this weekend at Dodger Stadium.
We're playing outside, you see. Fresh air. Oh, you get fresh air and hockey. You will enjoy.
Luke's here early. Wow. We're going to take your calls on weird places you've had sex.
That being the butt, Bob.
We're going to have Adam Carolla on the program. We have Ken Ehrlich, who is the Grammy executive producer. Tell us all about the Grammys.
And we're going to ask him why he didn't hire you, Kevin.
That is incorrect.
As the voiceover genius that you are.
And my strange addiction, I eat diapers.
Sorry, what happened? You're eating what now?
Diapers. used.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can see eating fresh diapers, but not used ones.
That's tomorrow.